Father, we come now, we come to say thank you. Thank you for this preaching moment that you have blessed me with. And I thank you for the fruit that it will produce in the lives of all of us that will receive. Bless us now as we go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are still riding on the ships. We tried to teach what it was to be in a partnership. Then we spoke on membership. Then we spoke on stewardship. Last week we were on discipleship. This week we are going to talk about worship, something all of us ought to be, should be, the reason why we are here today. If you're here because it's May Day weekend, you're here for the wrong reason. We ought to be here to worship him because he's worthy to be praised and to give the worship to. Ushers, you may take your seat. It seems to me that very few Christians know much about true worship. We go to church, but we don't worship. We sing songs, but we don't worship. We listen to sermons, but we don't worship. We even sing the old hymns that got us to the place where we are now. But we still don't worship. All of these things are elements of worship, but they are not worship in and of themselves, which means that you can do all of them and yet fail to worship. True worship of God. Don't intend to throw you a curve, but I'm going to tell you my story now. There was this family, and there was a father and son. The son was about 6 years old, and they had a wonderful relationship. The son were a sticker for details, just like his dad. If he wanted a toy or whatever he wanted from the store, he would tell his daddy what he wanted for his birthday. Tell him exactly where it was. For instance, he would say, it's in Toys R Us. As you go in the door, it's to the right in the first aisle on the second shelf. He would tell him exactly where it was. But this time when he was about six, he said, this is what I want, Daddy. He said, I want a ball for my birthday. And he said, okay. He said, and that's all he told him. He didn't tell him anything else. He didn't give him the specific directions about where he could find it. He just told him what he wanted. And his dad thought that was real strange. And he said, son, said, that's not like you. Said, you usually, he said, well, Daddy, he said, let me tell you what it is. He said, I want a ball. He said, but I don't know whether I want a football or a soccer ball. He said, why you don't know exactly what you want? He said, well, Daddy, it kind of depends on you. He said, if you're not going to be around between now and my seventh birthday, he said, get me a soccer ball. He said, what other ball you want? He said, well, if you're going to be around between a lot of time between now and my next birthday, he said, get me a football. He said, Daddy, he said, if you get me a soccer ball, this will tell me that you don't intend to be around and I can play soccer with the other boys. He said, but if you get me a football, so we can throw and catch football in the back, just me and you. That's all it is. That's it. But you got to read in between. He wasn't too concerned about the gift. Help me, Holy Ghost. He was more concerned about the giver than he was the gift. That's what I stopped by to tell you today. You need to be concerned about the Creator.
Yes, sir.
Not what you do. Not that you preach good. Not that you sing good, or not that you play good, or not. You need to be concerned about the Creator. That's who deserves the worship. Not you. And because you sing, or because you preach, or because you play, that's not important. That's just a vehicle to get you to the place of worship. When our worship grows stale, so does our passion for God. Worship, and don't miss this, don't miss this. Worship is the furnace of our spiritual life. That's what gets the fire going. That's what make you know the fire of worship gets to burning on the inside of you. Too many come to church because it's Sunday, rather than coming on Sunday to worship. Far too many of us come to get blessed rather than to bless. I come to church because I know I'm supposed to come. Because I was raised in church. That's why I come. Wrong reason. Worship. Worship. Just got 4 points, I think. Point number one. The what's of worship. The first what is what worship is not. Worship is not an event. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 says, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." He's not interested in how well you can do what you do. He's interested in you giving him the honor and the glory that he should have. Worship is not music. Churches have worship leaders and praise team. We may sing a hymn of worship, and we may sing praises and worship song. But having the music does not guarantee our worship. Music is a vehicle to take us to the place of worship. Worship is not a performance. In a performance-saturated society, if we are not careful, we will see worship as a performance to be graded rather than something we give to God. Don't talk about or don't come just because the preacher has a nice hoop. Don't come because the choir sings real well. That's just a vehicle to get you to the place of worship. You are the instrument that God is interested in. He wants you to worship. We may see ourselves as an audience and the people on the platform as performers. None of us should be spectators. All of us should be participators. There is one spectator in worship, and I give you one guess, and if you're wrong, it doesn't count, and it's not you. It's not me. The only spectator is God. You are supposed to be participating. It says, "Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving." We come in, take our seat. Well, you better play me happy. You better sing me happy. You better preach me happy. You're waiting on the wrong one. You need to come in to worship God. Worship is not a feeling. Some people think that unless they get a real sinful good feeling and a little tear just roll down the cheek, to the next day at work, to say, "Well, the preacher preached good, said, I'm sitting up there listening, said, and all of a sudden a little tear rolled down my cheek. To a lot of people, that means you're worshiping. No, you just had your tear ducts just worked. That's all. You worship because of who he is. It's not a feeling. It's not how you feel about the person that's singing or preaching. You cannot like the person. But you didn't come because of the person. You come to worship. I had a shiver down my spine. Or I worked myself into an emotional turmoil. That's not a true experience of worship. Worship is emotional, but being emotional does not mean that you're worshiping. What worship is? Well, worship is a response to God. When we worship God, we are responding to him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 said, we love him because he first loved me. He dispensed his love towards me, so it drew me to him, and I loved him. Worship is heartfelt. Gospel of St. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You got to worship him because of who he is. Not how I feel. I really am not important in this scenario, because it's him that I'm worshiping. Nobody else. Nobody else. For the Father seeth such as worship him. Genuine worship is not an emotion, but is always emotional. That's why to be in the presence of God, that's an awesome feeling. That's I can't imagine in my mind as emotional as I am with him. I can't imagine how I'm going to be when I get in his presence. When I think about the goodness of him. Nobody there but me. I still worship him. I love all of you. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're here this morning. But if you would not have come, I still would worship him. Because he's worthy and he deserves to be worshipped. Worship is that which values him, talking about God, above everyone and everything. Don't hate on me on this one, but there are some people in this room that I highly value. They have a great worth to me personally. Yet, I do not worship them, because they are not worthy to be worshipped. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Nothing or no one or nothing else should be placed in front of God. As much as you love your children, your grandmama, your grandpapa, they should not be in front of God. Yeah. Nothing or nobody comes in front of God. He says, I am a jealous God. The first law he told, when Moses come down with law, he said, thou shalt have no other God before me. That means you put him first above everything and everybody else. You need to worship God. He's first. That's why when you wake up in the morning, before you put your foot on the floor, you ought to say, thank you for allowing me to see this day. Because he needs to be praised and worshiped because he's worthy. Worship is a choice. I made a decision. that I was going to serve this God. Well, I couldn't make it for nobody else. My wife and my children couldn't make it for me. Because if I would have allowed them to make it for me, I probably would not be here today.
All right, sir.
But I had to make up my mind. I had to get in my closet and talk to the God that I knew and make a promise to him that I'll serve you no matter what happened. Everything haven't been roses. Everything won't be roses. But when you serve, when you're worshiping a true and a living God, he just got a tendency to make everything all right. Let me tell you now, I can stand here today flat-footed and look at you and tell you that if I was not worshiping a true and a living God, I wouldn't be standing here today. I'd be somewhere else because there's someplace else I could be. But because I'm worshiping a true and a living God, he reminds me every now and then. He said, you promised me that you would do this and you ought to keep your word. The kids told us this morning in their review in Sunday school, said God always keeps his promise, and he promised me in his word that he would not leave me nor forsake me. So I'm taking him up on his word. That's why I can stand. I know sometimes you look at me real funny when I tell you stuff like this, but God will work you to his advantage. That's how you know that you are hid in the cross and you're not standing because of yourself. We are some proud people. We got a lot of pride, proud within ourselves. But when you make a decision to serve a true and a living God, he'll kill it all. That's why some of us come to church all the time, but we don't ever worship. We don't never put him first. We got a certain level that we keep ourselves at. I can't do that because they won't think much of me. I used to sit on the front row in the church, sit right there with my arms folded, wouldn't show no emotions for God. But soon as I got in the gym and they threw the ball all up and they tipped it off, you couldn't make me sit down. But now it's the other way around. When I go to a basketball game, I take my seat. I stay right there and I watch them play. But bring me in church, God done fixed me, and I know it's all right because he deserves my worship. Because of where he brought me from, I made a choice. It was my choice. I choose to serve a true and a living God, and he's all right. He deserves to be worshipped. Listen, worship is giving, not getting. We think that we have been worshiping God when he blesses us with something. No, you give him something. I think it's John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. I stop right there because he gave his only begotten son. He loved me enough to give his son so I could come to him. Worship, y'all. Worship is getting myself out of the way and putting God first. We need to understand you get free when you worship him. Point number two, the whys of worship. We worship because of who God is. Praise is a response to what God does. Worship is a response for who God is. I praise God. I thank him for his mercy when he answers my prayer. I praise him in response to his work, but I worship him because of who he is. He simply because he's God. I am not worshiping him because of what he will do for me, but because of what he is to me. Open your Bibles to Psalm 95. Open your Bible to Psalm 95. I, I've been in this for 2 weeks, and I got to get it out. Psalm 95. You'll find me in there. Why we worship him. Why we worship him. Listen. In Psalm 95, we have a number of statements that tells us who God is. In verse 1, he is called the Lord and the rock of our salvation. In verse 3, he is called the great God and the great king above all gods. And that's a small g. No, there's not but one real God. In verses 4 and 5, he is praised for his work in creation of all things. In verse 6, he is our maker. In verse 7, he is our God. He is personal. He is our great and gentle shepherd. In verses 8 through 11, he is the God of history who calls and delivers the nation of Israel. In this psalm, it's telling us who he is and why we need to worship. We need to worship him. Why? Because he's all of those things to each one of us. He is our creator. He created us. He made us. He knows all about us. He is our rock of our salvation. He's the solid rock I stand all of the grounds. Everywhere else you can stand, you'll sink. But if you stand on the rock, God will. You'll understand why you need to worship him. We need to worship him because of who he is. Yes, sir. Yes. We worship because of who we are. Look at verse 7 in Psalm 95. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That tells me that I don't have no other shepherd but him. And a shepherd look after the sheep. He cares about me. He looks after me. Why do you think you're able to get up this morning? Why do you think you're still inhaling and exhaling? Because he is your shepherd, and he made a decision that you would be alive today so you could worship him. You are not important. He is. I know all of us think we're all that and two bags of chips, but you're nothing but dirt. But dirt, that's all. But you're dirt that was made by God. And that makes you somebody special. And that's why you ought to worship him. I do believe if the Ford car could talk, it would worship Henry T. Ford. I'm glad you asked, because he made it. It would, but it can't talk. But you can. Your creator that made you, he made you so you could talk. So you can talk to him and worship him and praise him. Oh, Lord. He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. He is the creator. We are the creature. He is the king. We are the subject. He is the master and we are the servants. He is the vine, we are the branch. He is the owner, and we are the possession. There is not a hair that is on your head or has been on your head that have fallen off of your head. It's not there. It did not escape his attention. He knew it because he knows everything about you. He is your creator, so he knows it. So the most natural response in the world is for you to worship him because he's worthy to be worshipped. We need to worship him because of who he is. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Point number 3, the hows of worship. How are we to worship him? We are to worship him cooperatively, like in worship service here today. Back again in Psalm 95. Notice the use of the plural pronouns in the psalm. It says, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise unto him
with psalms. Come, let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us kneel down before the Lord our Maker. So you can worship in any time or in any place, but there's a special dynamics of God's presence in cooperative worship. He needs for us to assemble ourselves together. Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to assemble for worship. There is nothing like worship with a group of people that are worshiping him. Yes, you can have, and all of us have had a good time with God, just you and God. But when you share it, when a group of people get together to worship God and they have no other agenda but to worship him, then God will receive the praise and glory, and we will worship him. But when we come and we don't enter into his courts with thanksgiving, we miss it. We miss it. I didn't feel it today. The choir didn't sing today. The preacher didn't preach today. You are looking to the wrong place for worship. You need to come in with your worship clothes on. If you wait until you get at the place you call church to get ready to worship, you have made a mistake. You should have been worshiping him all the week. You can't wait. You can't wait until you get here to put on your worship face. You have to have it on when you walk before you get in the building. Most of you people that have a job, you in the morning when you get up to go to work, most of you probably got your clothes already laid out. But Sunday morning when you get up, let me go in here and look and see if I can find anything to wear. Got the same closet full of clothes you had last night. But you're going to get in here Sunday morning and look and say, let me see what did I find to put on. But now Sunday night, you're going to lay your clothes out for Monday morning. But Saturday night, you can't lay your clothes out for Sunday morning. You get up, you don't have anything to wear, then you go in there and drink you a cup of coffee and say, well, let me go in here and see. You get this and bring this out. How does this look? Do you think I can wear this? It's yours. If what you have on helps you to decide where you're going to worship God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's looking at your heart. When you come in, that's the way you ought to worship. Your heart is where you worship, not with what you got on the outside. This right here, you're going to leave this here when you leave. Somebody else going to wear it. If you got children, they'll probably be fussing and fighting though before you get back from the cemetery. So you it's not important. Your worship to him is what's important. Because it's and do it in a group. Jesus, the Son of God, got some help when he was down here on earth getting the gospel out. He did not do it by himself. He got 12 disciples, and then he had some more. He got 12 disciples we know by name, and then he had others. And they helped get. You cannot do everything by yourself. We need to worship him. We are to worship verbally. Verse 1 tells us to sing in Psalm 95. Tells us to shout to the Lord. You can't sing and shout without opening your mouth.
You got to sing. You got to open your mouth.
Amen.
I got a book in there somewhere on the shelf. Talks about preaching. It says that, this author says that if you want a preacher to preach, every now and then say amen. He said, but you need to know what you're saying amen to. If you don't say amen, feel like you don't know what they're talking about. And I listened, I was listening to Pastor John Hagee. He said when he first started preaching in Texas, he said that you very seldom heard of a white pastor going to a black church to preach. And he said he went to a black church to preach, and he said they like to preach him to death. He said as long as they kept saying amen and come on preacher, he said I kept preaching. He said, and I couldn't figure it out that was the way they do it. He said, but and I just kept right on preaching. So they said, come on preacher. He said, I'd preach a little longer. Come on, preacher. He said, now I'd preach a little long. But you got to, it says, let us shout, let us sing unto him. God is listening to you. And you got to know what you're talking about. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our life. Giving thanks unto him. You got to praise him and you give a sacrifice of praise. It took me a while to figure out why they said it was a sacrifice of praise. When you praise God, it's a sacrifice. And I didn't think about none of the rest of y'all. I thought about me. I said, after I got the gist of it, I said, well, it is a sacrifice to praise God. I said, because all those years I was sitting there just like this, wasn't involved in the service, just there, did no praising unto him. Just right there. Just like a sponge, sitting and soaking, giving out nothing but taking in. We need to open our mouths and praise God. We are to worship physically. In verse 6, we are told in Psalm 95 to bow down, to kneel before the Lord. In Psalm 47 and 1, it says, oh, clap your hand, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of a trumpet. Psalm 63 and 4 says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift my hands in thy name. Psalms 134 and 2, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Worship involves two major things, attitude and action. If you have the attitude of worship, your actions will put that out there. Sometimes we worry about what others will say or think of me. We forget about the one that we come to worship. How did I do today? Did I do all right? You're asking the wrong person. Worship, you didn't come to here to worship because of me. If you did, you're here for the wrong reason. You need to be here because you're worshiping God. We need to ask God, how is our worship?
Yes.
Not the people that you look at all the time, because they're going to judge you by themselves. If you're worshiping God for a true believer, a genuine believer, it doesn't matter what the rest of the people think about you. You're here to worship him, and that's what you do. Worship is our response of all we are. Mind, emotions, will, and body. Worship, and don't miss this, is more than a few songs on Sunday morning. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is continually putting God first in whatever we say, whatever we think, and whatever we do. God needs to be first if he's going to be worshiped. If anything or anybody else become number one in your life, you are not worshiping God. If I allow you
to decide what I do for God, I'm worshiping you. And you the same way about me, if that's what you do. We need to come here because we are worshiping him. And we come together to worship so we can draw strength from one another. There is strength in number. When other people believe the same way you believe and you serve a true and a living God, that's strength. That gives you strength. Next week, when you're by yourself and you need some strength, you ought to be able to remember some believer that were in cooperative worship with you that you can draw strength from, that they don't have to be there. We need one another. I need you and you need me when it comes time to corporate worship. But your personal worship is something between you and God, and you need to do it other than on Sunday. Because we used that there used to be a belief that if I go to church and take communion, I can go back out and do whatever I want. What you take in that within itself does not save you. You have to live after you take the communion. You have to live the way Christ lived. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So if you remember him and you take the communion, then it's going to affect the way you live. If you go out and do in and everything after you take communion, it's not doing you any good. Everybody around you will say, well, she did take communion. Yeah, she did. But he still went out and sinned. Say, go in the pool or a dry center, come out a wet one. You can come in with not taking communion and go out and still be a sinner. It doesn't make a difference. Taking it won't save you. Coming to church won't save you. Being the pastor won't save you. You have to live this life, and you have to worship a true and a living God. Constantly putting God first. What we think or what we do is important. Worship is a matter of obedience. Someone have said, it's not how high you jump or how straight it is, but it is how straight you walk when you hit the ground. You can jump as high as you want to jump, but when you hit the ground, how are you walking? Are you walking the way God would have you to walk, or are you walking the way you want to walk? When you worship a true and a living God, he'll change the way you live. And when you worship in him, he won't get your permission to change your life. Because when you study this word and get in this word, this word will tell you how you ought to live. This word tells me how I ought to treat you. But whether I receive it or not is another thing. I'll say this and then I'll move on to something else. If you're a member of Macedonia and you don't tithe, it ain't the preacher's fault. Because I've taught that. If you're a member of Macedonia and you don't go visit the sick, it's not my fault. Because I've taught you that you need to go. If you don't attend worship service, it's not my fault. If you don't receive it, if I don't teach it, then it's my fault. Because see, God's going to hold me accountable. And he's going to hold you accountable too. Don't you think I'm not going to do it so the preacher will be held accountable. You're going to be held accountable too. You're going to burn in hell. But when you worship him, you do it in spirit and in truth. You have to get to the place where you worship him. I was at a service this Monday night, the Emancipation Proclamation worship service. And I told Pastor Cecil William, preached that, and I told him, he gave me my conclusion to this message. And the conclusion, his title of his message was,
and y'all just take this the way it is. We's be free. We's be free. This is where we are. And I said, we's be free to worship him. We are free to worship him because we have received him as Lord and Savior. When Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, the slaves all over the United States was free. But in Florida, they did not get the message until around May the 20th. They stayed in slavery, living on the plantation, doing whatever they were supposed to do as a slave for 5 months. And could have been free. They stayed serving the master, their old master. And don't you think real hard of them. We's be free now. But we's did not receive that we were free. You're free. You're free to worship God right now. But you're sitting in bondage. Because you will not worship him, because you just get ready to worship when you come in and you get on your three-piece suit and your pretty dress and your shoes and get your makeup on straight. That's when you come to worship. No, you've been free all the time. You don't just get free when you hear the word. You're free. So you're free to worship him because you're free because you have been cut loose from sin. The bondage of sin have been cut off you when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to receive him, then you're free. Can't nobody else set you free. I can assure you that your old master don't want you listening to a message like this or thinking like this. He wants you to exist in the shackles of ignorance, clothed in the rags of guilt and shame, afraid of him and his whip. The devil does crack a whip, and he cracks a mean whip. He wants you ignorant of this word of God. He wants you to not know that you don't have to listen to him. You have been so attuned to him. He had you dialed in so close. You could not have a bleed over of the word of God. But see, just like if you think the devil had you keyed in on his station, you ought to switch to God. You ought to try Jesus Christ and turn your radio on his station. The devil can't get a bleed over on God's word. He can't get into God's word, but because God blocks him out. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a clean slate. But if you don't know that you have a clean slate, you don't have it. The devil will constantly remind you of your yesterdays. And don't think because you've been saved 3 days that he has forgotten what it takes for you. He still got you on his radar. And even more so because you used to be his and you're not his now. Yeah. You used to be his and you're not now. You left him. And he does not like that. He does not like that. You got out of his bucket and got in Christ's bucket. And he doesn't like that. He had you. He doesn't understand why you didn't stay with him. Because he kept telling you, showing you good things. And you having a good time. You enjoying yourself. And you seen them Christian folks, they don't never smile. They always walk around with their head hung down. They just lost a best friend and the mama just died. They lost a job, everything else. The dog ran away, the cat. Something wrong with them all the time. But somewhere I read, says, this world is not my home. I'm just traveling through. When I get to glory, I will not have any need. Like the cruel slave master the devil is, he wants you to think that you got to take a beating every now and then to stay in order. Well,
I can't live without nothing happening to me all my life. So it's okay if something happens to me every now and then. The devil is a lie. Nothing bad's going to happen to me. If it looks like it's bad on this side, just wait. Just wait a couple of more days. Because what you thought was for bad, God's going to use it for good. And God will exalt me because of what I'm going through. He will bless me because I'm going through this. We need to understand that whatever comes my way, when I sign on with God, it's a done deal. It won't last always. It's just temporary. Trouble is not for real. Happiness is for real because I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. What the devil wants us to believe is purely heresy. He wants us to believe that God cannot do what he said he'd do. He wants you to not believe him. Because he'll show you, he'll bring to your mind what happened to you when you were out there and lost. And he won't bring to your mind that what you were in, God got you through it. He'll just remind you of what you in it. He won't see you out of it. He sees you in trouble all the time. He will remind you of how big your problem is. Don't talk about how big your problem is. Talk about how big your God is. There's no mistake you've ever made that God can't fix. He can fix it, but we have to give it to him, and we can give it to him in worship. This is why. We come together in settings like this. And you don't have to know what people's problems are. When we come together in worship, we forget about everything else. And all we think about is him. That's when you know you worship. When nothing else matters. When what are we going to eat for lunch? Doesn't matter. What am I going to wear to work tomorrow? Tomorrow will take care of itself. But I come here today to worship him. And it's to get together with other believers so we can worship him. And that's what we need to do. We need to do like the little boy did with the toy. He wasn't concerned about what he got. He was concerned about the giver. We need to put the Creator at the top of our list. Everything else can come under it, but nothing goes above God. He is number one. He is first, and there's no other. When you take care of... The team that most people remember is the team that end up number one. Go ahead. Number two, but number one. God is. I tell you what you do. In whole numbers, count to any number you want to without starting with one. You can't do it. Everything is based on one. So everything is based on God. If we make him number one in our lives, we will succeed. You might not succeed to me and everybody else, but to God, if he's first, he'll bring everything else in order. But we have to put him first. Brothers and sisters, worship is so important. To get ready to worship, you have to be in sync with God. Most of us, if you're an adult, you got one of those things we call a cell phone on the side hanging on us. You ought to have an invisible one that you constantly talk to heaven, you talk to God with. And some of us are better at talking with the cell, the one with AT&T and Verizon and Cox and all them others. We're better at talking at that one than we are talking to the one in heaven. We need to be better talking to heaven because it goes farther and it costs less. You don't have any overuses or roam fees or late fees, or especially you don't have taxes. You don't have to pay tax. You can use as many minutes as you want to. Some of us try to see how few of them we can use, but God loves you and he loves for you to talk to him. And if you talk to him, he'll talk back. He will talk back. But you have to talk to him. You have to talk to him. Brothers and sisters, worship is important. That's our communication link with God. When we worship him, he knows who you are. As many people as there are in the world, there's not one person that have slipped through this world and God didn't know who they were. If you think IRS knows your address, God knows it better than they do. They tell me they have this thing on the computer now where people can find out exactly where you live. God gave them the knowledge to find that out. So if he gave it to them, guess what? He already knew it. So we need to make sure we worship him and stay in touch with him. Another ship of life is worship. And this is one we need to do 24/7. Even when you sleep, you need to sleep worshiping him. Because then it won't be something strange to you. Will you stand? And if you don't know God, if you don't know